To address before we begin our worship this morning, this, a bit about the elephant in the room, you know, to answer the question of why we are here. I'm not sure why all of you are here, but I can summarize at least why I'm here and why I know many of you are here. The reason why we're here this morning is because Christ is worthy. Amen. That's why we're here. We're here to worship the risen Christ who has died and rose again to purchase a bride, his body, the church. And now he calls the church to come and worship him and enjoy him, to gather together. And so that's why we're here this morning. Jesus is king over all the earth. He's king over kings and powers and nations. He says before he ascended to heaven that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And so then he commissions the church to go and to make disciples, to go and advance his kingdom, his law, his rule is over all and everyone, regardless of their color, education, social standing, everyone will give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, obedience to Christ trumps all other authorities. He is the authority above all authorities. And so the Bible does give us a hierarchy and patterns of submission. Wives are called to submit to their husbands, and children are called to submit to their parents, and citizens are called to submit to the governing authorities. But we realize that these authorities that we are under all come underneath the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's to him that we pay the ultimate allegiance to. Take our civil government, for example, including our mayor, our premier, our prime minister, our health authorities. They all answer to God as servants of justice. Romans 13 is clear that our civil magistrates are God's stewards or God's deacons, and they wield the sword. They have police force. And the reason why they have the police and wield the sword is to ensure justice, to punish the wicked one, the evildoer, so that the righteous are rewarded so we can live in a free society without fear of our possessions or our safety being jeopardized because of the wicked running rampant. And so justice has been given to the civil magistrate, and they are God's servants to carry out justice according to his standard and according to his rule and his law. The civil government are not rulers over the church. The Bible does not give in Romans 13 or 1 Peter 2 the civil magistrate authority over the church. The church is Christ's body, the Christ's bride. They are to wield the sword in matters of justice, not in matters of regulating worship or how we gather together to worship Christ. This is the very reason why churches do not pay taxes, because we are not under the authority of the state. We don't give our money to the state. We are a separate entity. We have a historic doctrine called the separation of church and state that our society as a whole believed and embraced. Sadly, I think churches have not done a good job in articulating that from Scripture, how there's a separate government and authority under the lordship of Christ versus under the church versus the civil magistrate. Christ is Lord of his church, and he rules directly over his church, and he has established elders who are to care for the flock, who are to teach the flock, to guard the flock, to feed the flock, and the elders of the church love the church more and care for the church more than a civil magistrate could ever do. And so with myself as a lead pastor here, I am entrusted and I will answer to God for how I shepherd this flock, for how I rule over this flock, how I oversee this flock, how I teach and how I lead and how I guide and how I make decisions. I will answer directly to God because I'm answerable directly to Christ. There is no earthly authority between the elders of the church and Christ himself. And so I do not answer to the civil magistrates on how I pastor and how I shepherd. I answer directly to Christ. Therefore, I will not hand over my stewardship of Christ's body to a civil magistrate. Faithful elders will not hand over their duties to shepherd the flock of God to those who have not been entrusted to that. Now, we are called to honor and obey our governing authorities. And so I will willingly accept the consequences of this act of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know many of you are here today because you counted the cost. You know there might be fines. You know there might be arrests. But you count the cost and you say, Christ is worthy. You know, history is full of men who counted the cost and then went ahead and paid it. If you think of me back at the time of the mid-1500s in England, King Edward VI had just died and Queen Mary was about to take the throne. A Roman Catholic, and as England was seeking to reform and come under the rule and the reign of scriptures alone, Mary was set on vengeance. And she began arresting pastors and then began burning them at the stake. Almost 200 people were burned, mostly pastors, also some women and children as well, killed under the reign of Bloody Mary, as she came to be known. And why was it? What was the truth that these pastors would not compromise on? If you can believe it, it was over the Lord's Supper. They burned at the stake because they would not recant on their view of the Lord's Supper and embrace a Roman Catholic view that the elements actually became the blood and body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they died and were burned at the stake. And John Rogers, the first man who was died, left behind his wife and 10 children. His 10th child was actually born when he was in prison and only saw his 10th child while he walked to that stake on his way to be executed. This is our tradition as Protestants. This is our tradition as those who take the Bible and see that it applies to all areas of life, and we will say Christ is worthy and we will be faithful. And so we submit to those in authority over us unless they forbid what God commands, or command what God forbids, or command what is not theirs to command. Now, right now, the civil magistrate is forbidding us to do what God commands. That's clear. They are forbidding us to do what God commands because God commands us to gather together, especially as the day draws near, Hebrews 10:25. We're commanded to practice hospitality, 1 Peter 4:9. We're commanded to sing to one another, Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. We're commanded to love one another in tangible, real ways. We're commanded to comfort one another. We're commanded to serve one another, to greet one another warmly with a holy kiss. We're commanded to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're commanded to care for the elderly, widows, and orphans. We're commanded to pray over the sick, to minister to them, not flee from them. The government is forbidding us from doing these things the way that God has set down for us to do them. And so we must obey God rather than men. The government is also commanding in areas that is not theirs to command. We have a slogan in our society today where people hold up signs and say, "My body, my choice." And we know that doesn't apply to abortion because it's not your body that you're going to kill. So it's not your choice. It's that baby's choice. But we realize that "my body, my choice" works because we recognize that you have personal autonomy over your decisions that affect your body. And that's because you're a creature made in God's image and God has given you freedom and responsibility before him. And so people can't take things from you or do things to you. That is wrong according to God's law. It violates a person. And so there are many things today that people do not have a choice in, whether that's a covering for your face, whether that's distancing or gathering with your family, having people in your home, being with friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. And why is that? It's not only because of a virus, it's because of fear. There is rampant fear in our day and age, fears that are exaggerated, fears of what may happen. You know, our province is in lockdown because of what may take place, what may happen. Much has been done in the past by well-intentioned governments with a mind to the public good that have infringed upon people's rights and freedoms. And it hasn't led to their good or to society's good. Even in our province of Alberta, you know, there's much brouhaha about residential schools. There's even programs in our past where there was forced sterilization of people against their will. It was seen as in the public good to violate someone in that way. What we know is that the winds of science are ever-changing and public opinion is always swaying. And so we as a church and as believers upon the Lord Jesus Christ must be anchored by the truths of God's immutable and unchangeable words. And so in this regard, yes, my body, my choice. But most important, the reason why we're here today is because this is Christ's body and Christ's choice. Yes. And he calls us to worship. Now, some Christians today say, well, this is not true persecution. You guys are just asking for it. And we should only disobey the governing authorities if it's persecution. But where do you see that in Scripture? Persecution is brought because people are faithful to obey God's commands. It's not as if you wait till you're persecuted and then you obey Christ. You obey him first. And then if persecution comes, then so be it. Is this persecution? Well, that should not come into our mind. What should come into our mind is, what does it mean to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? I know other people also object to me and say, Tim, this is not the hill to die on. Faithfulness to Christ always comes first. Where the battle rages hottest, that's where our faithfulness is tested. That's where Christ is calling us to obedience. And this doesn't have to be a hill that we die on if we all just stand up and say, we'll be faithful to Christ. And so the lordship of Christ over his church is a worthy doctrine to proclaim and say, he is worthy. He is worthy. So that's why we're here this morning.